Hi, I am Dr. Jacob Lauritsen, and thank you so much for tuning into my channel. On this channel, we try to make education and technology simpler for you as teachers. In my last video, I was talking about how teachers are content creators. We're making content for our classrooms, whether we realize it or not. And on this channel, we talk about how to take it a step further, how to take that content that we create and turn it into a product that can be used, that can be shared, that can be replicated in digital form, you know, whether it's video, that's a podcast, whatever, right? So if you like that premise, if you like that idea, like, man, you know, maybe it's time for me to start recording some of my videos, or maybe I want to make a podcast, you know, either to use with your students or to start gaining a new classroom of students online, this channel is gonna teach you the skills to do that. But first, I want to cover some of the ideas that go into this, and this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, and that is being a teacher, being a professional teacher in the age of social media. I think we get a lot of attention thinking about how this affects our students. You know, how does our students being on social media affect them and their learning in the classroom? And I think that's an important topic. We start talking about things like cyberbullying and being distracted in class as kind of the negative side, which is important to talk about. On the positive side, you know, maybe we talk about the ability to be able to share and to communicate with students and with parents and with other stakeholders, what's going on, what's positive, what's good at the school. Also, really important things to talk about. But what I don't think we talk about very much, and which is totally applicable to what we're doing on this channel, is how do teachers plan and figure out how to share what they do through social media? What is the legal side? What is the creative? What are the moral? What are the professional implications for all of this? And so that's what I want to dig into on this episode. First of all, let me date myself just a little bit. I was born in 1984. I'm going into my 10th year teaching this year in 2019. And according to the internet, I am the very first year of millennials. Now, I don't know that I identify as that. I think we typically think of millennials as being much younger. But when I think of the internet, my first real introduction to the internet was, I was probably maybe about second grade. My dad was a college professor, and we were in his office at work using a dial-up connection, and I went to like NBA.com, and I was obsessed with the Charlotte Hornets for some reason. So I'm like looking up Muggsy Bogues and Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning. They were the three big guys then. Muggsy Bogues wasn't big. But like, that was my first memory of the internet. It was a dial-up connection. Like, you picked up the phone and it interrupted the internet connection. It stopped, which is absurd today because we get our internet through our phone now, and it's just, it wouldn't interrupt anything, right? As I got older, I probably got my first email address at 14, which was, I don't know, mid-90s, maybe. I made a GeoCities webpage. I used chat rooms. I know ICQ and AOL Instant Messenger are. Like, that was my introduction to the internet. It's very different today. The concept of social media was a chat room or making a webpage or something else. It was long before MySpace or anything like that. I was in college when I first heard about Facebook, and you had to have a college email address to get onto Facebook in the first place, right? That just dates me a little bit. So I think people from my era think about technology different than our students do, because we saw that transition from, you know, a life of going to a library and using a card catalog, physical index cards to find books, to entire libraries being digitized. That's the library for our students. In fact, I just finished grading some papers for an online class I'm teaching right now, and I was telling my students, you need to go find sources through the online database. Some of them hadn't done it. But like that, it's a very different time for them than it is for us. So when I try to understand like how to use social media, I'm thinking about it totally different than my students are. The term digital native is such a great term to describe our students that they really don't know a world without complete technological immersion. At least most of them don't. I live in a rural area, and even here, where typically there's a digital divide, that's another key word you hear sometimes, most students have access, predominantly on a phone, less on a computer. But even here in a rural area, my students have access to the internet, and they really don't know life without it. And so they think of things very differently. I'm generalizing here, I understand that, but they typically are very comfortable with sharing themselves because that is the culture they grew up in. I am extremely reserved when it comes to sharing myself. And I think it comes from the era I came from. There was this great hesitation on what you're supposed to put online. And I think to a degree that's very healthy. It's very healthy to be careful with what you share online, but it's also necessary to a degree if we're going to start sharing our work online to share a bit about ourselves. So I think the question is, what is appropriate? What is reasonable to share with our students, with strangers, with our growing internet audience, whether that's through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube, LinkedIn, whatever platform you choose, or all of them, if you choose all of them, what's appropriate to share? How does this affect your day job as a teacher? And how do we kind of navigate those two different worlds, in most cases, the very physical world of a classroom where you meet with students, and this virtual digitized world where anybody can access it, right? And I think in this video, I don't have a whole lot of answers. I probably just have more questions, and hopefully these questions are useful to you as you think, okay, what is appropriate? What should I be considering, right? So I want to start asking a couple questions. When you create your online identity, if you will, some sort of public Facebook page, public facing Twitter, Instagram, social media accounts, what do you choose to include? How much of your personal life will you include? How much of your classroom life will you choose to include? Now, obviously, there's things to consider like FERPA. You can't reveal personal information about your students, right? You just can't. We need to protect them, and it's federal law, and you can't mess with that. FERPA, Family Educational Privacy Rights Act, I don't know. I got all the words. Maybe I got them in the wrong order. But the idea is there's federal law that protects the identity and the personal information of your students. You can't name them by name. You can't be so specific that someone could figure out what it is, right? So like if a parent of one of your students is watching your video and they can figure out who you're talking about, you might be giving too much information. Does that make sense? So we have to be careful about that. Even if you change the name, you know, from real name is Mary and you call her little Susie, if there's enough specific information that they can figure out who that is, you probably need to rethink what you're doing. Okay, sorry. My card ran out. I had to start over. Second thing that we need to think about is if I were you, I would not take pictures. I would not take video of the students in your classroom unless you have express written permission from their guardians to do that, right? Because in general, if you are sharing their likeness in a public venue where anyone can see it, you're going to want permission to do that, right? Now, me at my school, I make the yearbook. I run the media class. And so I do kids sign, or parents, not the kids, parents sign permission at the very beginning of the year, giving me permission to do that. But I'm still very careful with what I share online, because even though they say yes at the beginning of the year, they may change their mind later. They may disagree with what's being shared or the context it's being shared in. So you need to be careful. And I'm not sharing it for my personal use. It's only for basically school channels, you know, a highlight for a school event or something like that. Does that make sense? So we need to be very careful with what we share. So if you are going to start creating content, I would suggest you don't show your students at all. And yes, people may feel like, well, that's weird. Why aren't the kids there? Well, you can explain. You know, I'm recording during, you know, times I'm not with students, you know, like after school or something like that. And that's just, that's to protect your students. And I think if people have a problem with that, then, you know, I don't know if you can convince them or not. They just need to understand. You're protecting them, right? You're also protecting yourself from liability in doing this. That being said, legal side aside, you as a representative of your school are in a very interesting place. Even if you're not physically teaching a class, you're representing your school. So you need to think about that. Maybe your contract says something about how you present yourself in public. I know it. In our district, our lawyer meets with us at the beginning of every single school year and explains things like what a professional act is and how we can get fired and how we can avoid getting fired. And it's very important for me to know the legal side of my job. Hopefully you have that opportunity as well to understand what the expectations and liabilities are for you and your position. But even if you are not on campus, you represent your school. And so you probably don't want to badmouth. You probably don't want to do anything negative about the parents, talking about students negatively, even though you may have freedom of speech. We also need to understand what that is. Freedom of speech is not the freedom to say things without consequence. It is protected from the federal government limiting what we can say and do. But if you are a public school teacher, you are not employed in any situation that really involves the federal government. You are probably a state employee. And the U.S. Constitution is talking about what the federal government can do. It's not talking about what state teachers can do. And the rules are different. There are things I can say and things I cannot say as a teacher in my classroom. And the line is blurred when we're online. Even though I should theoretically be able to say whatever I want in this venue from my home, on an online platform that does not represent the school, the line is blurred. And if I'm being negative towards my district, towards my school, that can be seen as an unprofessional act and I could get in trouble for that. So be aware of that, right? we don't need to lash out online. Maybe there's a more productive way to do that. And maybe, again, that's my background and being very reserved and what I can share online. I know not everyone's going to agree with this, and that's okay. You can disagree. I choose to be very careful. And you may think I share too much to begin with, and that's fine. Everyone's going to see the line a little bit differently. But that's okay. Things that I try to avoid, you may not feel are issues to begin with. And things that I feel comfortable with, you may feel go too far. Follow your conscience for what you think is appropriate for your position. But be aware that just because you haven't considered something doesn't mean someone else won't react differently than you expect. People aren't always reasonable. And sometimes people like to be offended. That's the nature of our society. And so a parent, an administrator, another teacher, a school board member, another stakeholder, someone completely unrelated to your district, your place of employment, may take offense at something you say or do, even when you're not intending to. It's a good idea to try and anticipate your audience. If you feel it's important to say something, be prepared to accept whatever consequences, positive or negative, that may be. Because you are choosing to be public by posting things through social media. Now, obviously, there's a time and place. You can lock things down under, very specific learning management systems. And that's great. That's cool. You can make a video for Google Classroom and all your students can see it. You don't have to consider this larger social media world. But we're talking about social media now. And we have to assume whatever we say or do that we post is always going to be out there. And we have to be prepared to accept that. Now, here's advice from Gary Vee, who is probably offensive to a lot of people. No matter what you say or do, as long as you do it with pure intention, with love and generosity and empathy, he feels any bad consequences will probably blow over. I think there's a lot of truth to that. It does presume that people are generally reasonable, and you never know what's going to happen. But be careful with whatever you share. What you say you do. And in this context, I'm just talking about education, technology. I'm trying to make it simple for you. I'm trying to make it accessible. And I understand that I may run into something that is disagreeable to some at some point, but my heart's in the right place. So hopefully, I think people will understand that, and I hope they take it well. So I hope this video was helpful for you. If nothing else, the questions maybe get a dialogue going for you, and maybe we can keep that discussion going in the comments below. I'd love to hear what you have to say, and hopefully this is productive and positive. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Dr. Jacob Lauritsen. If you do want to follow me through social media, I'm at Dr. Lauritsen just about everywhere except for Twitter, because someone beat me to it. I'm Dr. J. Lauritsen there. Anyway, I'll see you in the next video. Thank you so much for watching. Bye.